We've been talking about praying in tongues, allowing the Holy Spirit to come into us and then pray through us the perfect will of God. I feel it's a lost message to many in the body of Christ today. I feel that the body of Christ as a whole have a purpose and a vision to win the world, but many are trying to do it in their own ability, their natural man's ability. There's a better way. There's a better way for you to overcome all your battles and struggles. There's a better way for the church to grow and mature. Many in the church world today, many faith people, believe that when I was born again, my full inner man came complete with all the knowledge of God, wisdom of God already input into me. And now I have to take my ugly old soul and bring it over to understand. My only job is to think differently, to accept what God says, to accept His will, and much like a horse, be trained to follow God's will instead of my own will. But that's not a full picture for the children of God. There's a better picture, a stronger picture, that you've been created and born of God the moment you accepted Jesus into your life, and you were birthed of God as a child of God. Your inner man came into existence like a little baby, a newborn baby, Peter says. And now we must build up the inner man to grow in the knowledge of God and put to death and mortify the deeds of the body, the outward man, the outward man's desires and plans for you. And everything sounds similar, but it's a different path. Many in the body of Christ that are seeking to be used of God, they've accepted a lesser quality of Christianity. They've accepted a walk where not everyone gets healed, and it's okay to pray for people and nothing happen. It's okay just to lay hands on people and talk about Jesus. The higher way, the more excellent way, is to actually become like Jesus. That's a hard sale to tell someone, yeah, God wants you to become like Jesus. But the truth is, He gave us everything we need to overcome and mature and be like Jesus. His love, His peace, His joy. Most in the body of Christ, they love, but it's their love in the name of Jesus. They have peace, but it's their natural peace in the name of Jesus. There's a better way. We're going to start in Jude verse 20. The better way is that you come to a place where you're not satisfied. And that's probably the only reason you're here, is because you've come to a dead end somewhere in your life, either with overcoming sin or walking out of insecurities and brokenness, or you're just not satisfied with seeing one person healed but another person left alone. You're not satisfied that when I lay hands on the sick, they don't all recover. And you've tried everything you could. You tried every ounce of faith. You prayed all you could, but you just couldn't see it happen. And you know the Word of God says it should happen, that God's will is it for it to happen. But here you are praying for someone, praying for a situation, and there's no change. Well, that's a truth. That's a reality that many Christians run into. They run around. I did. I ran around, prayed for people, saw some nice miracles, saw some people healed. And I was excited, and we should be excited about the ones who do get healed. But what about the ones who don't? Do we just throw them aside and just pretend they're not there as a church? Do we just allow them not to show up or to show up year after year and not see their victory? When we preach all the truth of the Word of God, we need to become that truth and walk in that truth. And the only way that you can find that is with the help of the Holy Spirit. Man cannot give it to you. I know many good believers who hunger for more of God. They go from conference to conference, to man and woman to get hands laid on and minister to get under the anointing. But long-term change doesn't really happen. Many are captured by a lesser standard. Let's just go do things for God. We'll yield our will to Him. Will obey Him, but yet they're not growing in who He is. They're learning to obey, but they're stuck as little children. You know that little children can obey. When my son was 1 year old and he would grab something and he wasn't supposed to, I'd say, Harrison, put that down. And he'd put it down. he could obey at 1 year old, but he couldn't do it very much because he was 1 year old. He was immature. Maturity of the inner man is where you're going to find your answer. And that's the greatest work that the Holy Spirit does for us. When you get desperate enough for truth, for the Word of God to come to pass, and you try everything you can, you'll eventually end up with the Holy Spirit saying, "Help, I need help." And when you pray in tongues, I remember asking God, "Why do I need to pray in tongues?" Well, the answer was simple. Pastor Dave taught it and it helped me to understand God cannot just fix us because he wants to. He cannot fix me because he knows how to. Because it's my life, I'm responsible for my life. No one's responsible for my actions, for my life, my steps, what I do with my time, but me. I'm the one going to give account before God of what I did in this body, good and bad. And you also will. I can't blame the preacher. I can't blame my parents. I can't blame my boss. I can't blame my teachers. I can't blame the pastor. I can't even blame my past. I can have as much of God as I want. And so when I begin to learn about the importance of praying in tongues and why I need to pray in tongues, because if God could just fix me when I first got saved, I would have got up perfectly great, full, skinnier, and all the hair on my head, and everything would be perfect. That's how it is in heaven. But you are in charge of your life. And that's why you need to pray in the Holy Spirit. Because when you pray in tongues, you're the one praying that prayer language. That prayer language is powerful and potent. It carries mysteries and revelations and truth about the Word of God, about truth about who God is, but also about who you are in God's eyes. In God's eyes, you are his child as much as Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You receive that same nature that Jesus was glorified with. That's what you were born again with. You received an inner man in righteousness and true holiness, but it has to mature. So obedience isn't going to cut it. You don't have a full-grown inner man that knows everything, and all you have to do is take this outward soul, this soul, and make it submit, make it obey, make it accept who you are, because who you are is a little child that needs to grow up. Obedience is important. Submitting your will to God is important, but they're not where the real answers are. That's the first step. And I see many Christians caught up in just that message of let's just go get God to use us, and they're happy that God uses them, but they'll never reach the potential of God's plan for their life because they're trying to do it on their own by simply being like a horse, obeying God. I'm going to let God ride me and direct me and use me. God doesn't use people that way. He doesn't throw your life away just so he can use you. He'll include you with the work of the kingdom, but he doesn't like to use you up and destroy your life and use your life up just to do it. He has a plan for you, and the pathway to your plan you'll never find without the help of the Holy Spirit. And so when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit inside of you begins to write down a prayer in your heart. It's a language you don't understand. Your outward man doesn't understand it anyway. Your outward mind cannot comprehend it. It's full of mysteries and revelation and truth. And that truth is what God wants to touch the world with. That truth is what's going to build you up with knowledge, spiritual knowledge, powerful truths, ancient truths that have been around for eternity. God wants to deposit into your spiritual man. Those are powerful, powerful revelations of who you are, who God is. That's the answer to all your struggles and my battles. That's the answer of overcoming everything we face that's limiting us in our walk with God. And when you're tired of being limited, you're tired of just going around the mountain again and again, that's when you begin to cry out for help. And every time you cry for help, he'll always lead you to the Holy Spirit, to praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is the avenue that God uses, the number one avenue, to download his mysteries, his ancient truths into your spiritual mind. Your natural mind couldn't understand it anyway. if you're going to rely on just obeying God, you'll be like a horse trying to obey a master. You won't really be able to understand why or what, just you'll know he told me to do this. But there's a deeper walk. He wants to walk with you like a son and a daughter and hold your hand and build you up so he can have great conversations with you about your life, about your future, and eventually about other people too. That's different than being an animal that's being led around by a rope and told what to do. You're a child of God. You can grow in a relationship with God, an understanding of who you are. I watch in my own children how they've grown and matured to where they're becoming their own man and woman. And I'm watching them make great decisions, and they're able to have full-on conversations with me now. Yet when they were little, they couldn't have conversations about deep things or important things. It was just love, and I love you, and I love you too, Daddy. It was a wonderful time. But ultimately, we want our children to go beyond being children. We want them to grow up and be able to do some things in their life. Well, you're no different in the spirit. Your spirit man is who God birthed. Your outward man is who your parents birthed. God is going to quicken your outward man one day and get rid of it and give you a new outward man, a new outward soul, a new mind, a new emotions on the outside, like he already has done on the inside. Praying in tongues says, I'm not ignoring my inner man. I'm building him up. And that's what Jude says. There's a lot of deception going on in the church. And Jude's antidote for an individual being deceived. I mean, if you want to lose weight, go on to the social media on YouTube and search how to lose weight, and you'll have 100 different opinions. And everyone's determined to tell you, this is the right way. I'm a doctor, and this is the right way. The other ways are wrong. Another one switched the channel. Another one will say, I'm a doctor, and the other guy's wrong. I'm right. Well, I'm a doctor, and I'm a nutritionist. I'm trained. And everyone's got opinions. There's 100 opinions on what to eat and how to eat, how to lose weight. You probably, like me, have ran through 30 or 40 of them trying to figure it out and still struggle. If you want answers for anything, if you look on social media, you'll find hundreds of opinions of different opposing opinions about how to do something. Well, if you want to find God and walk in your calling, do the same thing and you'll find the same problem. Hundreds of ideas, hundreds of preachers, all claiming to be hearing God, speaking for God. Every one of us using the same Bible, the Word of God, all wrong doctrine, all doctrines of devils, all doctrines of man have come using the Word of God to justify. Even the devil himself used the Word of God against Jesus to try to get him and manipulate him. He twisted God's Word when he deceived Eve. Just because it's from the Word of God, a verse from the Word of God, doesn't mean it's the truth. Gary Carpenter said, I can take two verses and put them together. And Judas hung himself. And then another verse, go and do likewise. And we can take verses from here and there and make any doctrine we want. But the doctrine of man does not help you in any way. It may make you feel good for the moment, but it doesn't bring true and lasting transformation or change. If you don't live a life of seeking truth and living that truth and becoming that truth, you'll just stay the same over year after year after year. Time does not bring change. Only pursuit of truth, pursuit of love brings change. Here, Jude gives the antidote to deception and being at the mercy of other men's teaching or women's teachings or prophecies or philosophies of serving God. But you, beloved, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And that word building up, in the King James, I believe it says edify. It's not a building up like encouraging you or motivating you. Motivation only lasts a short season until you're not motivated. Motivation is nice, but we have to add edification, which is building. It's a building block. If I drove by you and you lived on a piece of land and I I threw you a great big brick. Every hour I came by and gave you a brick. Well, pretty soon you'd be able to build a house, and that house would be here for the rest of your life if you built it right, because you were given the material to build something, an edifice, a house. And that's what the word edify means, that when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is edifying you, building you with building blocks, building material that'll last you for the rest of eternity. That's the power of the truth of God. The truth of God does not change, because God doesn't change. God is completely righteous. He is completely light. There's no darkness in Him at all. You cannot penetrate Him with any bit of darkness. You cannot change Him. He cannot change Himself. That's why for us to walk with Him, it's deeper than just, God, accept me for who I am. Use me the way I am. If that's all you give Him, then that's all you'll have. But He wants us to come towards Him, to become like Him, to walk into the light, to walk in the light of who He is. Because who He is, the kingdom of God, is within you. That is who you are on the inside. But if you don't grow and mature in the knowledge of God and the mysteries of God and that ancient wisdom that God has, if you don't put that in you, you and I want to keep saying you, but it's you and I, and every one of us will keep struggling and battling with the same thing over and over again. And this is powerful, because when you understand that you're changing, you're transforming, that means, yeah, I may be a mess in this area now, but next year I'll be different. Not just have a handle on it, but I'll be a different person, because I'm using the most incredible tool to build up my inner man, to build him up so that my inner man is so strong that I begin to override the outward man. You cannot override the outward man on your own willpower, your own strength, because the devil will just come and add more pressure and you'll go splat. But you overcome the outward man by first building up the inner man. And as the inner man matures and grows, you'll find the inner man will pick a fight with the wrong truths, the wrong ideas, the insecurities, the fears, the roots of why you struggle with things, the root of why you're desiring things that aren't of God, the root of fear, the root of laziness. The answer is to start with discipline and denying the flesh. That's a good start, but don't just live there. There's a much better life for us, and that is to becoming the child of God, growing and maturing in the knowledge of God, where that's where you live from. And that's a much more powerful place of victory every moment of every day. And when you understand that there's a pathway of changing that you're walking down, then you're not so worried about what you're going through right now. You're not so self-judgmental about what I'm struggling with or what I'm going through. You can look at it and say, well, that's my outward man, and I'm overcoming him. He maybe beat me today, but give me some time, because I'm now partnered up with the Holy Spirit. See, partnering with the Holy Spirit at a low level, at a less excellent way, is obeying Him and listening to Him. That's a good way to partner at the beginning. But a greater way to partner with the Holy Spirit is to let Him teach you. Many, many Christians get baptized in the Holy Ghost and they think, that's it, I got it done. And they pray in tongues off and on, and you'll hear very often, yeah, praying tongues is good, but it's not as important as other things. And that tells me they haven't come to their dead end yet. They've settled for a lesser standard. Because really the standard of the gospel is that we can do what Jesus did and greater things. That's what He said. That should be the standard. Well, Pastor, I can't do that thing. I can't live holy like Jesus. I can't love like Jesus. I can't pray for the sick and see them recover like Jesus. Correct. Not yet. But there's a pathway. If you believe the Word of God, there's a pathway that He has for you personally. Doesn't matter where you come from, how broken you were, what you're struggling with, there's a pathway where the Holy Spirit will personally teach you and mentor you and walk with you step by step, victory after victory. And the forgiveness of the love of Jesus and the blood of Christ, for every failure, for every struggle. It's there. Jesus told Peter, you got to forgive 70 times 7. That's 490 times a day. Well, do you think God's mercy is less than that for you? Do you think that God's mercy would be less, His forgiveness be less for you? No, His forgiveness is there with you because He believes in you. He believes in who He made you. He has dreams that are in your inner man. Your outer man has dreams too, but they're made of the flesh. They're not of God. The image of God was given to Adam. He was made in the image of God. But as soon as Adam sinned, then the image of God ceased to exist in the human race. You may hear people say that all the time. We're all children of God. We're made in the image of God. God made us to be this way. No, the image of God stopped the moment Adam sinned. Going forward from Adam, the human race was twisted and turned into a different creature than what God designed and what God made. The real image of God now is the inner man, who was birthed of God. The inner man is where you have the new nature. And it can grow up in the wisdom and mysteries of God, where you and I can see life, walk through life, act in life the way that Jesus did, because He came from that same image, or we came from that same image as Him. So are you going to edify that inner man and build it up with knowledge, or are you going to just keep serving God and being busy for God and letting the Holy Spirit lead you through the day? He'll do that if that's all you give Him. But I want to be more than a horse, more than a dog, more than a pet that can obey and follow instructions. I want to be a child of God, sit with my Father, talk to Him and fellowship with Him with questions and have greater understanding than just a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old child that can obey but doesn't understand. He wants you to grow in the knowledge of God that comes from God so you can understand. See, that's where real faith comes from. Come with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I remember when the Lord began to promote me and have me preach at different places, and one was especially a TV channel based in Canada, and it went to other nations, and I was so excited when they called and asked me to come preach. I thought, God, you're promoting me. You found my faithfulness. You've seen my faithfulness, and now you're promoting me because I've been faithful in the little. And right away He said, no, I'm not promoting you. He said, you have enough truth in me that I want that truth to go to many other people. And see, He wasn't promoting Alan. He has promoted Himself inside me, in my inner man. That's what He was promoting. I was just going along for the ride. That can be humbling. Well, it is humbling. But it helps you to understand the importance of growing in the knowledge and mysteries of God. If all you want to do is follow God and be led by Him, that's okay. That's still good. Listen, that's still good. But you'll find out that the wording for that from Paul is not so nice. He uses the word ignorance. That's ignorance. That's a lesser way. And if that's where you want to stay, then it's okay. God will still be pleased to work with you and walk with you. We're not here to fix other ministries or other people. I think anyone who preaches Jesus, no matter if they pray in tongues or don't pray in tongues and practice praying in tongues, I guess, we're all doing a good work, and God's happy with us. But He really would like to have some of His children grow up and walk in the things of God like Jesus did. And not just blindly do it, but understand it and know Him and know who they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, us faith people like to focus on the word power here. You know, yeah, I don't do like all those theologians and study the Greek and the Hebrew and know all these things. I just go and pray and believe God for the power of God to show up. And that's dramatic, and I get it. You're making a good point that if all we do is teach and that's all we do and don't see the fruit of it, that's a good point. But eventually you find out, and you have, that that power that you're saying you have stopped somewhere. Blind eyes healed, deaf ears healed. I was experiencing many of those miracles, and the Lord stopped me down that path and said, this is a lesser path. I have a higher path for you. And it was that he was using my calling to authorize those miracles and not the love of Christ that had been developed in me. He wanted me to focus on developing that love of Christ. That's a higher place of authority. That's the only place that you'll find the love of Christ that's developed in you is the only place you'll find the authority for everyone who can't come to Jesus got healed. That's the place he wants us to go as believers. That every person who comes to us for prayer gets healed. That means people with no faces, the maimed, the blind, the real broken that don't even go to church anymore. The world's given up on them and the church world's given up on them. Generation after generation, this has happened. It's become normal now that real broken physically people don't even go to church anymore. And real broken emotional people, they go to church for a while, but they hide it. They pretend they're okay, but eventually they stop going to church anymore. So the power is a good thing to focus on, but more important is the focus of where does that power come from? And that's what he's teaching us, is where do we find the source to get that power? And it's in the wisdom of God. It's not in obedience or just going around and praying for 1,000 people and you get lucky and get a few people healed. When the disciples prayed for someone and they didn't get healed, Jesus didn't tell them, good try, good try. Thank you for trying. No, he rebuked them. He rebuked them. And how many believers do we have running around just praying for people? Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And not seeing all the results we should. We're leaving people broken all over the place. The command is to pray for them and see them healed. The command is to heal them, not just pray for them, but to see the results of the miracle, the power of God. And this is what Paul's talking about here. He's not saying you should all be dumb Christians and just blindly walk into faith and pray for people and get people see the power of God show up. He's shown up in a donkey. His power showed up all over the scripture. But we want to become wise in God's wisdom, understanding with God's understanding. And that's only going to come from the Holy Spirit. And you'll see that here. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. So that's the contrast here. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Now look here. However, we speak wisdom. So he's saying we do speak wisdom, but it's not found in the human race. It's not found in a self-help book or a motivational speaker. It's found in, we'll see, in the Holy Spirit building those mysteries in us. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. There's that word, maturity. See, we're not only supposed to be obedient. That's a good start. Please don't think I'm saying it's bad to disobey God and go do things. That's a good start. But if you stay there, you're going to stay there. And there's so much more for you. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So Paul here is saying there is a wisdom, an ancient wisdom that is available to you that doesn't exist in any man's mind on this earth. It didn't come from any great idea that was birthed in the mind of a man. This wisdom is the source of the power. If you don't have this wisdom, you won't have the power. Yet not in the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now this is where you need to underline this. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. This scripture you hold, it's God's wisdom written to your inner man who could understand it. Your outer man will try to understand it, but it may get some things right, but it will also get some things wrong. This Bible you hold is full of mysteries, and it's like a puzzle piece, and I think God did it that way because the hungry get to see the truth, not just anyone who just wants to read it, but those who are hungry and want to learn. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the 66 books of the Bible? I hope he said, well, the Holy Spirit wrote it through man. Exactly. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Who's better to teach you the truth and what he really meant in the Bible? Some man, some Greek scholar, Hebrew scholar, or the Holy Spirit himself? In our first birth, it was so unfair. In our first birth, we have people who are born who can sing like angels when they're little kids, and the world snatches them up and finds them really quick and begins to mold them into their image, to sell their voice, to make money. There's people who are very, very intelligent. There's some people that remember every minute of their day all the way back to childhood. They can't forget it. Their natural brain is so capable. Some people are natural CEOs, and you see it on the playground. They're putting things together and planning things for all the other kids, and the other kids follow them around. They're natural leaders. There's a lot of things. Our height, our looks, our hair, our body shapes, the size of our feet. It's all different. We're all different from different DNA throughout the human race. It's very unfair. What nation you're born of, your intelligence you're born with, your capability, your talent, it all comes from the DNA of the human race. God didn't give that to you. You got it from your DNA. That's why you look like your mom and dad, because you got it from your DNA. You came from them, not from God. The image of God stopped in the human race the moment Adam sinned. It was twisted after that. The whole universe was twisted by that action of rebellion. But in your second birth, your rebirth, and the birthing of your inner man, see, you received a new nature. That new nature brought to life your inner man. The inner man is a full you. It has a mind and emotions. It has desires that only want God. The outer man wants all kinds of things, will draw you to all kinds of things, but the inner man, it only wants God. That's all it wants. It's God's will, God's word, and it pulls you that way. It pushes its desires to seek him. That's where your conscience comes from, that new nature. It desires holiness. That's all it wants to do. It says, what are we doing? What are you doing that? That's not holy. That's not who we are. We're the righteousness of Christ. That's the conscience. That's from the new nature. So the real you, the true you, the one that's going to be around for eternity, is already birthed from God. And our birthing from God is equal. None of us got more than the next. None of us can be smarter than the next guy or the next girl. I'm sure in heaven we're all going to sing in perfect pitch. Right now, I always love people in church who got rejected from the worship team and feel they weren't seen for their great talent. And so they sit in the congregation. They're either playing a tambourine a little loud, or they're singing just above everyone else, out of pitch, out of tune. And I have a hard time telling which is which. And they're trying to prove, I got a great voice, but they don't. It's unfair in our first birth. But in heaven, I'm sure we're all going to sing as beautiful as each other. God loves your singing anyway, it sounds like, on earth anyway. So keep singing. That's what I do. I just keep singing and let everyone just plug their ears, because I'm singing to God. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. That hidden wisdom is an ancient wisdom that has been around for eternity. and the heaven and earth, the heavens, the universe and earth will pass away, and everything God has said, everything God's spoken to you by a prophecy that's a true prophecy, every teaching that you've learned from Him in your inner man will still be true for all of eternity. Every picture, every vision that God gave you, it's unchangeable. When it truly came from God, it cannot be broken. It's powerful. That's the power of truth, ancient wisdoms that come from God. Verse 10. But God has revealed them. What's the them? All these mysteries, hidden wisdom that eyes not seen or heard or ear heard for all those generations. God has revealed them, these mysteries, to us through His Spirit. Now, that's not the Holy Spirit. That is your new man. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Isn't this powerful? That your inner man has a will, has a desire. That's the inner man's soul. It has a desire. It searches the things of God. It is what pulls you to hunger for more of God. Now, we can quiet that voice by feeding it with entertainment and TV and busyness of life, where we don't feel that drive or that push, that desire coming out of us, but it's there. If you quiet your day down and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll see it rise up and say, I want more of God. I want more of God. I want more of God. Let's get more of God. Let's go talk to God. Let's go spend time with God. It is what pulls you and attracts you to Him. That's the desire of the inner man, the will of the inner man. That's the soul, the mind, will, and emotions of the inner man. It desires that it comes from that new nature. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Talking about your inner man. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. That's your inner man. That we might know the things which have freely been given to us by God. These things we speak. What are we speaking? We're speaking the mysteries and the wisdom of God. See, here's the difference. If I just want to obey God, then I can wait for Him to tell me things and I can repeat it. That's okay. But He's talking about a wisdom that's now in Him, that He owns, is part of Him, an edifying of Himself, of His inner man, the knowledge in the inner man. He's talking about a truth that was given to Him by the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm speaking. That's what He's saying. I'm speaking to you mysteries and truths that don't come from Paul, but they came from the Holy Spirit when He taught my inner man the truth. Now I'm teaching you, I'm edifying you with what He edified me with, not with my own philosophy, my own ideas, not with Greek philosophy or Jewish philosophy, but Holy Spirit mysteries, ancient truths that God has trusted me with. That's what I am a steward of. Paul says that we are stewards of those mysteries, those revelations that God shared with him and taught him by him praying in other tongues. And He'll do the same for you. Now we've received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit is a spirit, and He connects to your inner man, the spiritual man, and He'll teach you into your spiritual mind deep revelations and deep truths. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to hurry up here, maybe just a little bit. I don't want to bore you too much. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These leaders and pastors, he called them children and immature babies and carnal Christians. They were walking in a certain power. They were seeing miracles and signs and wonders, but they were divisive. And he explains in the less excellent chapter 12, about how they were operating in the gifts. And he uses this terminology. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, I would probably change that into a little bit to help me understand it. I would say, I do not want you to remain ignorant, because it was in their ignorance that they were operating by the gifts of God without spiritual maturity. In other words, they were being led and, you know, I'll do things for God, but there's a higher way. And the higher way is to learn the mysteries of God, grow in the wisdom of God, and grow in the love of Christ in us. And it's important we see that word here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. So in your natural personality, you were dumb enough to be led by idols and worship false idols. So don't trust your intellect, he said, because it's got you into this mess. And he's trying to clean up this mess. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to remain ignorant. Over in chapter 14. Just follow me here. I'm painting a picture. I want you to understand today the importance of praying in tongues to grow in the wisdom, the ancient wisdom of God in yourself. Verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks, there's the word, underlined it, mysteries. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. When you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your spiritual man. Your natural man doesn't understand anything because he can't. It's a carnal brain. It's a different species than your inner man. But your inner man can understand the things of God. And it will hold on to those mysteries or ancient truths. When you edify others in the church, he wants you to edify them with the edifying you got from the Holy Spirit, not your own opinion. God doesn't care about our opinions, our ideas, what our mama taught us, what some pastor taught us. If it doesn't come from the Holy Spirit, it's not for his church, it's not for his children, it's for the world. God has wisdom and truths for his children that he wants to spread that came from the Holy Spirit. Number one way to get those mysteries into you, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'll just give you a couple more verses here. If you go to the end of chapter 14, verse 38. Now, I'm reading out of the New King James. I'm not positive what the King James says on this one. I should look that up earlier. Verse 38, after he teaches and corrects them and teaches them a better way to walk, a more excellent way than by the ignorance of the gifts, of just using letting the gifts flow, that's still a good way, but it's not the best way. Their ignorance of just staying ignorant. Lord, use me. Lord, lead me through the day without growing in knowledge. What parent takes their two-year-old child and says, you've learned enough. You don't need any more school. You don't need to learn anything else. No parent does that. Well, God doesn't do that with you either. He wants you to grow and mature in the knowledge of God. Verse 38. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. So there you can look at chapter 12, verse 1, and you can draw a line all the way to chapter 14, verse 38, and you'll understand that these chapters are fixing the ignorance of the carnal church. They're remaining ignorant because they're not pressing into the most important tool they have to mature in God, and that is praying in the Holy Spirit. He says finally in verse 20 of chapter 14, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. See, there's that word mature again. It runs all through 1 Corinthians. Sort of the mysteries of God all run through. He's telling us something here. The way to maturity, to not remain children in understanding. Don't stay like a child in understanding. If you're going to walk with God to the fullness of your calling, you need to gain the wisdom and mysteries of God. And, there's a way I've been telling you about. If you'll just do it, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, just getting baptized in the Holy Ghost and praying on Sunday morning or whenever it just hits you, it's not going to do the job. My son's in university now, and they have classes. And let me tell you, just sitting in the class for 10 minutes and walking out, he would fail. He's got to sit in those classes and learn. And then that boy has to study and study late at night. He's got study friends that they get together and they study and they work hard at trying to comprehend what's being taught. It takes work and effort and discipline and structure and scheduling if you really want to grow in wisdom. Well, it's the same thing if you want to grow in spiritual wisdom. You got to schedule out your prayer time and make sure it happens. Just being baptized in the Holy Ghost, that's just the beginning. It needs to be practiced every day for the rest of your life as much as you want. Those mysteries of God will be put into you. They're like building blocks. And it may seem like it's taking time. I only pray an hour a day. Well, listen, if you keep praying an hour a day, that's a brick a day to build your house of your calling, to build the house of knowing who you are. It may take you a little while, but you will have a house. You will have something that will last for the rest of eternity. And it's going to be something that will bring faith and victory in every area of your life. The Holy Spirit is waiting right now in your personal classroom. You have a teacher, Pastor Dave called him a well-dressed teacher, called the Holy Spirit, standing in your prayer closet, waiting to teach you the mysteries of your life, the mysteries of your future, ancient wisdom that's been around for all of eternity, that men have chased over, the Greek chased after it, philosophers have chased after it, trying to find it, they can't find it, but little old you, he'll share the wisdom of all eternity. He'll share those secrets with you if you just let him pray through you those mysteries. Go pray in tongues. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. Be encouraged. You're on a great path. Let's keep going. We got a world to change. We got a church to change. We got our own lives to transform. I love you and appreciate you spending time with me. God bless you.